Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And just like that, tomorrow becomes today, because we talked to Steve Kerr yesterday and it was a good conversation. Like I said, we wanted to have it for you one more time here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. In about a half an hour, we're going to have a food report for you. In a little while after that, at 5:30, we're going to have Warriors Live for you. And it's the Warriors and Wizards coming up a little bit later on tonight. J.D. Covey and Jim Barnett have you getting you ready at 5:30 and then tip off at 7 o'clock tonight from Chase Center against the Dallas Mavericks. Yes, Matt.
A couple things stand out to me from that interview, listening to it again. The first is, again, and I said this yesterday, but the giggle, the like knowing laugh we got from Steve Kerr when you brought up that James Harden stat might be my favorite part of the interview. Like, he enjoys how much better Steph Curry is than James Harden more than anybody. Okay?
Yeah. And, you know, but he did say, he's like, nobody, you know, I don't need to tell Steph to shoot anymore.
Right.
And I guess my point is, yes, you do. Yeah, more
that's
Steph.
Your point.
Yes, that's
but
my
separately,
point.
But separately from that, the other thing is, does Warriors Twitter owe us a thank you? Because we got Steve Kerr on record saying, I will run more pick and roll.
I don't want to hear anything from them on any level any reason.
Do we say you're welcome to Warriors Twitter? I mean, is that... I don't know.
What's
the right protocol here? Because we got it. It's right there.
I would say denying their existence has always been the smartest thing.
Oh, Ray. We can't.
Not all of us
can hate the fans the way you do.
We can do this.
It's a special
skill of yours. Free yourself of the burdens of other people.
Here's the deal. Does getting credit for us do anything for us? Does that get like an extra pickle with lunch or anything?
Maybe. You never know where you're... I mean, look, you know... who knows what opinion it was, Damon, that initially led Ike of Ike Sandwiches to your front door? You know what I mean? But at some point, you said something that really resonated with Ike. And he was like, this is a guy I want to associate my brand with. So, in fact, perhaps it does get you an extra pickle down the road.
I think the thing that I said about Ike was, I was hosting a show one night and I'm like, so I had one of those Ike sandwiches today.
It was
really
so good.
And then I had a call during a commercial break. It's like, hey, it's me. How you doing? And that's how a beautiful relationship started.
That is beautiful.
The Harden thing is interesting, because if he could shoot it as well as Stephen Curry, do you think he would play the way he played when he was in Houston looking for contact?
My guess is no.
Yeah. My guess is, he recognized that while he's a pretty good shooter, probably very good by most standards, his best play is still to get free free throws.
Well, everyone's best play is to get three free throws, to be honest.
Well, you know, with the singular exception of the guy we're talking about. But I think he made his own educated choice, because he wasn't going to be the guy who shoots 53% in contested field goals. Or contested three-pointers. And I think he adapted to what his game is.
Right.
He's hard to watch, yet you have to admire the fact that he has managed to make a beef bourguignon out of a sandwich.
No, but I don't think that was ever the point. It's just that, you know, peak James Harden was shooting 23, 24 times a game. And I think that's what Damon's saying, is he'd like to see Steph Curry shoot that much.
Right. To accuse someone of being a volume shooter, I know, is a little bit of an insult these days. A volume shooter who can actually shoot sounds like a plan to win a basketball game to me. Like, that's the thing. We're gonna get the one guy who does this better than anyone else and ask him to do it just a little bit more.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I don't think we need to relitigate this, but I think Ray and I are both of the mind that he's shooting it more than he ever has, which suggests that, like, conceptually, the thing you're asking for is something that's already incorporated into the results we're seeing, and the fact is they need more from other spots, because if 36.5 on tremendous efficiency isn't enough to get you into the 10 spot, like, that's not on the guy who's giving you 36.5
right, no,
at
look,
48 from the field and 41 from three.
To me, Steph Curry shooting is like cocaine. I'm never going to stop asking for more. Exactly. More. By the way, I do not do cocaine. This is a conceptual cocaine example.
But that is the most, that's the most natural thing. There's nothing weird about that part of it.
I heard it's addictive. Anyway, Draymond Green, like we said, was on the Etceteras podcast with Kevin Durant, and we are going to get to that on the other side of the break. Well, no, this is 51. I can do it right here, right now. What are you waving me off? Everyone, check the time. Yeah, I want to set it up. We'll play it twice. Everyone relax. Let the host drive the show. He knows what he's doing. He's got his eye on the clock. It's not a Friday that I'm mailing in. I'm working hard today.
Hey, yell at those two idiots. Leave me
That's
out.
That's what I was doing. I wasn't yelling at you, Ray. You will explicitly
when you say
know when
you
I'm
guys, I'm assuming this that the five idiots in this Zoom call are being
Watch
treated.
Watch the Zoom, Ray. He's looking right at those guys, you know? And now,
I don't know
look,
where
look,
he's
ruined
looking.
It.
His situation is that he doesn't look directly into the camera. So he could be looking anywhere. He
Ray,
could be looking at his wife
wasted
for all
the time he was going to use to play the soundbite.
It's genius. It really is like an evil, sinister genius move that only Ray Ratto could have pulled off. Here's the thing. Does the Zoom meeting look the same to you as it does to me? Are we all in the same boxes?
No.
Like the beginning of
pointing
Brady Bunch?
Does not work.
Okay, yeah, no, it doesn't work.
You look like you're pointing at your kid and then the neighbor's dog.
Oh, well, then no wonder why it's not the smoothest program on the radio. Anyway, we got an awful lot still coming up. The Draymond Green soundbite that Ray just talked into an impossibility to play. We're going to play it for you on the other side because
you're welcome.
It's all about how not every single game means the same in an 82-game season. And you know what? According to tonight, he's right, because tonight's game against the Wizards doesn't sound like it would mean a lot. It does for the Golden State Warriors. We're coming on back with that. Eventually, a food report, and we'll tell you what is the new reality show that neither Ray, Matt, nor I would do very well in at all. All of that's happening this afternoon.
I'm so excited for this.
Aren't you excited? Good. I want the audience to be excited right now because it's a chance to win $1,000. All you got to do is text the code word TAXI to 72881, taxi to 72881, brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware, Patio Garden, and more. It's all available, and everything you can learn about it is at osh.com. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
We're still reacting to that Steve Kerr interview from yesterday. We replayed it for you last hour. A great conversation with Steve that's got us continuing to talk about the Warriors and what they got coming up. And, you know, the next handful of games really is the fork in the road. What's the old Yogi Berra saying? When you get to the fork in the road, take it. And
take it, baby.
Yeah, the Warriors are about to. The direction it goes in will either be towards the last six games of the year, really being a chase to find yourself in playoff position, or they're going to play a brand of basketball over the next five games or so that's going to eliminate the importance of those six home games to close out the end of the regular season. So this is a very big week of hoops coming up for them, whether they want to admit it or not. And Steve is basically admitting it, like, it's go time. It's win time if they're going to be winning it all this year. Draymond Green, when he was talking on a podcast with Kevin Durant, the Etceteras podcast, one of the things that they were talking about is they were looking at the modern game is that, you know, not every single game on the schedule is created equally. And that's, let's go to the audio tape. Here's Draymond.
From a staying locked in standpoint, though, I don't care who you are. Over the course of an 82-game season, like, every game just not going to mean the most.
Right, right.
I think for our teams that we had, those teams were so great that even though 82 games, they didn't mean the most, we were still talented enough to beat everyone. And when we really locked in and focused, like, we would have stretches of the season where we would say, yo, we're approaching these next 2 weeks like playoffs, you know, so let's lock in and let's work on these things. Like, we would go like 9-1 over the course of that time. So, you know, I think for us, we used to use like the challenge with the game within the games to keep that focus, because every game, just like over the course of 82 game season, every game will never mean the same. Like, that's just cliche.
Well, the game within a game is here. I mean, everything that Draymond was talking about is happening right now. And if that switch were available for them then, I hope it's available to them now, because they need to start hitting that switch tonight. The next five games are crucial to whatever this year is going to be. If they are 4-1 at the end of this five-game stretch, boy, things are looking good. If they're 3-2, you know, maybe we might still have something to talk about. Anything less than 3-2, it's trouble time.
Well, I mean, Draymond is talking about a luxury that few teams have, where you can sort of, you know, work on different things during the season. When you're where they are, your universe is the next game. And we've talked about it all year long. I mean, this is – Washington is the kind of game where they would, in normal years, 2 years ago and beyond, they would have taken it lightly and worked on other things. And they probably still would have won. Now they need to win, and even if they win doing it ugly, which tonight's game could certainly be, because there may not be much defense played on either end, their world is different. And that's the thing that I think, you know, everybody's got to remember. This is a whole new world for them. They spent 7 years as a good and then dominant team, 1 year as a terrible team. And now they're a team that's three games under 500 and holding onto the standings by the skin of their teeth. So it's a whole different thing now. And what Draymond was describing was what is very much tonight is all we have.
In a way, it's even more than just a different world. It's an opposite world. Because, look, I mean, if you're this Warriors team, obviously you want to be locked in against the Lakers and you know, the Bucks of the world, and sometimes you will beat those teams, you know, especially if their best players missing the day. But it's actually, in a way, more important you're locked in against the Washingtons of the world. Because if you play your best basketball against the Lakers, but they also play their best basketball, you're still losing. You know, so it's sort of the opposite. Like, and especially in the situation you're in now, where the majority of your games the rest of the way are against teams that are either clearly worse or about as good as you are. I mean, that's the vast majority of the rest of their season. And if you beat those teams, which, to their credit, they mostly did in the first half, if you beat those teams, you're going to be in, at least in the play-in tournament. And if you don't, you won't, period.
Yeah, no, they were taking care of the business as it was handed to them, with one or two pleasant surprises along the way. Oh, look at this comeback against the Lakers. They did what against the Utah Jazz? That's that's fantastic. Didn't have that one in the W bank. You can put it in there now. That means you're operating in a surplus all of a sudden. And they really were. They're 4 or 5 games above 500 and looking good, and then wheels started coming off, and losing to the wrong opponent happened, and giving games back that looked like you had in hand started, you know, rearing its head here for the Golden State Warriors. Now, for their next five are against bottom-feeding NBA teams. I'm sure, by the way, some of these teams are looking at the Warriors saying, hey, there's a bottom-feeding NBA team that we can get into. But the Warriors at least got some pace and some weapons that should create a little fear in you at times, and we'll see what they can do. The Wizards, the Rockets, the Thunder, and the Cavaliers are not good basketball teams. Now, The Nuggets are in there too, obviously. But one of the things that Steve Kerr said, and I'm sure a lot of you think there is some, you know, just reaching out and glad-handing the fans that he's looking to do here. And maybe he is. But I'll say this. I'll go to my grave saying this. That there is no professional sport that really ebbs and flows based on crowd reaction the way a basketball game still does. By the way, this is why I love college basketball. The emotion in the college basketball arena is just unparalleled to me. The NBA, God bless Warrior fans, came at their height as close to a college crowd as you could put into an NBA building. And that's what made Oracle a magical, magical place. That's what everyone is checking Chase Center to see if it can duplicate that feeling of a college atmosphere at a pro game. And obviously, a sellout building is a part of that. And the Chase Center won't be sold out anytime soon because of social distancing restrictions. But of all the games that the Warriors have coming up, and especially in this five-game stretch, the fact that that Nuggets game is going to be the first game back with fans, it gives them more of a puncher's chance than they had going into that game had that not been the game where the fans came back. They are going to have a little hop in their giddy-up, you would think, that night, and that could be enough to, again, it's hard to predict them being good for a stretch of five games in a row at any point in time this year. But the only way that they could ever get to 5-0 is to handle their business and then, you know, catch lightning in a bottle against a very good Denver team. And maybe the fans are going to be there to do that. Basketball players, they do feed off a crowd's emotions, I think, more than anyone in an at-bat, anyone in a football game. It matters. It does affect the flow, the feel of a basketball game.
Well, and this is not crowd-related, but Denver will also be playing the second night of a back-to-back. They play against the Celtics the night before in Denver. So that's something else that the Warriors can take a bit of solace in, because Denver does not look like the sort of team that would allow the Warriors to have their way with them. But there are games every year in which really good teams lose, and back-to-backs are usually a pretty good way of determining that, especially a back-to-back where the second game is on the road.
Yeah, the crowd is not an issue this time because it's the following Denver game where the crowd will be returning, the 23rd, I believe.
Oh, wait. Am I confusing my Denver go dates?
I think so. I think the Denver go date for crowd, correct me if I'm wrong, studio, is April 23rd, which is also a home game against the Nuggets. But Ray is correct. They will be on the back half of a back-to-back playing Boston the night before in Denver.
And conversely, their game in Cleveland comes the night after they play in Oklahoma City. And while Oklahoma City seems hell-bent on losing every game by 30, Cleveland is trying.
And, well,
I mean, they're limited, and I'm not trying to say that this is going to be a blowout, but the same rules apply to the Warriors when they go to Cleveland.
Yeah. Also, though, take that take that you just did, Damon. Just save it. Save that tape, because there's a five-game stretch from the 21st to the 29th that is Washington, Denver, Sacramento, Dallas, Minnesota. So we could replay it then.
Okay. I knew there was something that made me, like, double-take that. Sorry, I'm over here looking at the schedule. I'm like, how did I screw this up? It is a little copycat-ish there. I got my weeks confused.
I think you could blame Jack for this. He's now old enough where you can start firing off blame.
Isn't that nice? It's like when I finally realized that at any age of his life, he was the second person that could get me into a carpool lane scot-free. What a liberating
Bingo.
Feeling that is. Like, you know, you can't get into a carpool lane unless you got two people. You look over and you realize, wait a minute, this child is a people. It's a people.
If you're with your wife and child, you can get in the she three-person carpool lanes they got. I believe some of those in the East Bay and perhaps down in L.A. as well.
Boy, that's just that's really getting – you're asking for, like, clown cars at that point for a carpool lane. How many people
you could start throwing the empties out the sunroof.
Who is the one guy who got pulled over, like, up in Santa Rosa, and he – since the state of California recognizes corporations as people, he had a whole bunch of corporate notes sitting in his passenger seat, and he said that that's my second person. And, like, this thing went to court.
Really?
Yeah. It went to court. I think he lost. It didn't work out for him. But somebody tried to claim this stack of papers is defined by the state of California as a person entity. And therefore...
Yeah, I'm actually on that guy's side.
Right. Something tells me he was a lawyer just looking to set the whole thing up and advertise.
It's probably true.
Probably.
Something tells me he was a jackass, too.
Oh, there's that. By the way, setting up to advertise is absolutely what was happening here, but at least somebody got something really, really good out of it. Did you guys see Shaquille O'Neal was shopping at a Zales, and he sees a guy buying an engagement ring, or he's paying the freight on an engagement ring. He put it on layaway. He's there looking for installment, you know, and he's making a payment, and Shaq comes over and just says, "I got you," and bought the guy's engagement ring for him. And the guy was like, "You can't do that. I can't take that." And he's like, "No, I do this all the time. I make people happy when I leave the house." And it was a cool moment. It was a really cool moment that seemed incredibly genuine. They played it on the TNT Tuesday night, players only, whatever they were doing. And it was brought up because the video was captured. It trended, and it's Shaq being, you know, a good guy. People got a lot of Shaq's a good guy. He picks up random acts of kindness, paying for things throughout his career. And someone was like, "What were you doing in a Zales, dude? Like, what are you doing in the jewelry store?" He's like, "I need some hoop earrings." They're like, "What, from Zales?" And then he was like, "Well, I actually have my own jewelry line." And then it's like, oh, that's how that happened. That's it. He's doing a commercial for his own jewelry line at Zales, which is shut up with a generic, "Hey, what'd you do? Where you did it?" But you know what? As long as some guy got an engagement ring out of it, I hear in the NBA it's all about the ring. Shaq delivered. There you go. Congrats. But did you know that Shaq had a line at Zales? I didn't. He does.
I mean, it does tend to take a bit of the altruism out of it for me. You know, yeah, good for the guy. He got a free ring out of it. But I believe that, you know, this is one of those moments where Shaq is thinking, as the businessman he really is, goes, "You know what? There's nothing but good publicity comes out of this, because people are going to start going to Zales hoping to see me."
Oh, yeah.
And
it's
hoping that
match.
Christmas will land on them. You know, he's literally nobody's idiot.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's smart enough to think that way. I don't know that everyone thinks as cynically as you do, Ray, but to me, I think it's entirely possible he's in Zales because he has a jewelry line there, and he just on a whim decides to pay for a guy's ring. I mean, we've heard stories like this about Shaq before that have nothing to do with his personal jewelry line, but whatever. I mean, whether it's nice or not, a man who was struggling to afford a ring got a free ring, so that's nice.
There you go. By the way, same thing happened with... I'm trying to think of a good, like, Shaq teammate to say he didn't really deserve a ring, but Shaq got him a ring. But I'm having trouble going through my Lakers
Samaki
Rolodex
Walker.
Right now, so just forget it. Again, if you have to explain the joke, it wasn't very good. Let's get back to the audio that Draymond Green was pumping out with Kevin Durant, because they were talking. I'm guessing this is a little bit of a reaction to the whole his comments about who gets paid what, women's soccer. I'm guessing that's where this comes from. Again, the two of you are going to have to talk me through it a little bit, because I have not been paying much attention to this. But if this is a Friday and we got to get to everything that happened this week, this is one of those things that happened this week. Draymond Green talking about how having a critical opinion these days will get you in an awful lot of trouble, I guess, here. Let's go to the soundbite.
You have to be critical, whether that's someone that's close to you being critical of you, and you taking that criticism, you listen to it and applying it, you know what I'm saying? And you know, the great ones are very critical of themselves, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I think that's an issue in this world in general. Like, no one's allowed, you're not allowed to be critical of anything. And if you are critical of something that's against someone else's opinion or what they believe in, then you get destroyed for it. And it's like, our world, like, the game of basketball is suffering from that, but our world is suffering from a lack of critical opinions. Mm-hmm. Like, your opinion is not of the popular one, you get castrated for it.
Now, I don't know if he's specifically addressing what he said that got him tweeted in a little bit of hot water there, but just to take
later
that
in the he yet. Did later in the soundbite.
Okay, well, we'll get there in just a second. But up to this point, an awful lot of what he's saying is right, man. The first person who says something that goes against the grain of popularity gets dunked on by everybody all the time. Like, it's a level of groupthink that only allows groupthink some of the times. Let's hear the second part of this. Maybe this is where he gets into the specific thing that I think he's talking about a little bit here. Yeah, let's go to part two.
When you can't have certain conversations because people aren't necessarily open to what they don't believe, you can't have those conversations. You can never have change. You know, so you know, everybody's running around talking about change, whether it's racial change, whether it's this change or that change, whether it's women's pay, like whether it's college athletes being paid. You're not like, whenever someone says something of the other side of a different opinion, everybody, you know, the cancel culture and all this stuff, like everybody want to immediately shut it down. And it's like, well, if we can't talk about that other side of thinking, then how do you change anything if one side is always shut down and something can only be viewed a certain way? Then what you have is just you always will have a standoff.
Interesting stuff. Draymond wading out into touchy topics. What do you guys think?
I think it lacks a bit of context here in that when he talked about how women athletes shouldn't be complaining so much about unequal pay, Megan Rapinoe, the soccer player, sort of took off after him but said he should talk to us more. You know, he should learn more about what we're talking about. She didn't try to cancel him, and she didn't try to kill him, but she did say he's wrong, which is fair commentary, and it's fair commentary that Draymond plays in, you know, not daily, but very often. And he wasn't getting canceled, and he wasn't getting castrated. What he was getting was an offer to learn more about something that he doesn't know quite enough about.
I don't think Megan Rapinoe had done this when he recorded that podcast anyway. So I don't think he's talking about Megan Rapinoe there. But I agree with Ray in what's up, Ray?
No, I was just going to say that he made a reference to, you know, women getting paid. And so yes. I don't know when the podcast was taped. It could have been right after she said it.
No, the tweets were on March 27th. So I think he's just talking about general Twitter reaction to what he said, because okay. Megan Rapinoe was echoing what a lot of prominent women in the sports world said in response. And I have the tweets right here, because I think this is kind of important. Draymond said, "As long as y'all make the argument about pay while the revenue stays the same, they will continue to point at the revenue not being high enough to cover bigger salaries. While that is true in damn near every business, how do we take that card out of their pockets? That's the key to changing the pay. There's no argument for lack of revenue unless you make those that say they stand for women actually stand up. The NBA wasn't always the global game that it is today. It wasn't always driving as much revenue as it does today, but there were people behind it building the platform and, more importantly, telling individual stories and building up the interest in the players. That's how the game took off. Who's building up y'all platform? Who's telling the individual stories of how great y'all are? Building the interest and transforming women's basketball into a global game."
Wait, that was offensive? That was offensive?
That was him explaining himself. And the first thing he said was essentially they need to stop complaining and make something happen, right? And that was how he explained himself. And I think what's notable there is it's totally ignorant. Nothing he said when he actually explained himself is like offensive per se, as you sort of responded, Damon, but it reflects ignorance of what is actually happening with the women who are fighting this fight on the ground, which is, of course, they did the things that he's talking about. And here's what Megan Rapinoe said, just to put it in her words, which are better than mine. When we talk about equality in women's sports, we always talk first about investment and funding and resources and marketing and branding and investing in not just the players, but the support staff and coaching and media, TV, print media, all of it. Those are the things we talk about first. And I think anybody who watches us or follows us or really has skin in the game at equal pay or equality in that sense knows that that's what we talk about first. That's the point here. Fundamentally, and I think Megan Rapinoe realizes this, Draymond Green wants the right things. When Draymond Green said stop complaining, and it wasn't in those exact words, but when he sent that sort of message, it was not like I'm sick of these whiny ladies. It was like we need action. The problem is we have action on the part of the women, right? What he could have done if he really wanted to help is talk to the women who are engaged in action and say, what can I do to help your action? And instead, he tweeted from a place of ignorance. And I think that's where he got himself into trouble.
Well, since this is partially a soccer conversation, I don't want to speak from a place of ignorance. And when it comes to soccer, that is the only neighborhood I live in. I can solve this problem, though, and leave it to an outsider to step on in to a situation he's unfamiliar with and being able to wave a magic wand and solve everything. Would you like the solution, gentlemen? If the argument is in the pay gap and the pay disparity between the men's U.S. soccer team and the women's U.S. soccer team, I don't know if the women's team could, like, sell out a Tuesday night stadium against a nobody opponent that wouldn't be interesting, like, or you know, I don't know. But I do know that the men don't win anything, not ever. They don't even get to qualify for all the tournaments that even matter. So I can help the pay gap and equity by giving every single one of those guys a massive deduction in pay. I don't know if the women earn more, but those guys definitely deserve less. Whatever the United States men's national team is paying their players, it's too much because those guys suck. Not just this team, but the one before them, and 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 they never get better, and there's no coach, there's no Landon Donovan, there's no one that makes them better, not never, pay them less. That's where we're starting this.
Well, there's a problem with your theory, though. The people who are paying them is the U.S. Soccer Federation, with the money that they get from ESPN and all the other television networks that show those games. And they're trying to grow the game. You don't grow it by cutting the pay of your athletes. You grow it by increasing their pay and increasing their opportunities and increasing their ability to become elite players. And they have played paid the men an inordinately greater share of the pie, even though the ratings for the women's games are roughly equal to those of the men's in most cases. So basically, the argument that, you know, the women aren't doing enough is false on its face because they are drawing people to watch their games.
I didn't make that argument.
Where most of their money.
I didn't make
that
argument.
Draymond did.
Oh, okay.
I'm not pinning this on you. There are other things we'll work on with you later. But no, the fact is, the women's soccer players have a better argument, if that's how you want to frame this, than any other league. And only now is the WNBA starting to catch on to that because their ratings went up like 64% last year. And it's going to get them a better television contract next year.
Yeah. Eyeballs on the television product is how you get paid. And if the women are getting as many as men, then they got a really good argument to get paid, you know, in the same ballpark, if they're drawing the same amount of eyeballs. Got to come on back real quick. You can wrap up with that. And we got a food report on the other side of the break. What can you, what can't you eat when you go walking back into a ballpark or stadium this summer? We're going to tell you all about it coming up in just a little bit. You miss any of it, you can find it all on the Odyssey app. Radio.com is no more. We are now Odyssey. You miss anything we do, you can find it there. Wherever you download your apps, get the Odyssey app and get it on your phone immediately. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, we are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Our Exergen temperature check, it's a nice one out there. Beautiful, sunny, 70 degrees up in Napa.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
We were just talking about Draymond Green's comments that got him in a little hot water with Megan Rapinoe, and I guess he was addressing those on a podcast. We were kind of kicking it around a little bit. Raymond, we had to go to break right when you were about to pretty much spike the football on the topic. What did you have to say before we rushed off to break there?
No, basically the women have carried their end of this is my point. And the fact is they had to go to court to try to get U.S. soccer to pay them commensurately. And they ended up losing, amazingly. But it should never have gotten to that, because if the women have taken away every argument you have for not paying them the same as the men, then the good of the sport that you're trying to promote demands that you pay them. And I think that's probably one of the things that Megan Rapinoe would have liked to have shared with Draymond Green. And maybe Draymond will pursue that. Because if you have an opinion, fine. But if it's an uninformed opinion and you don't try to get informed on it, then your opinion has a lot less weight and it has a lot less validity. That's my point.
Again, I don't know what Draymond did or didn't know, how much or did or didn't think about it before he said what he said, but I'll tell you this, Draymond usually, you know, shoots from the hip on a lot of things, and it feels like this is you guys are on the same side. Like, actually, like it feels like there is an awful lot of same side finger pointing for, it's not like Draymond is saying they don't deserve anything. He's just saying maybe the way they're going about it is the wrong way to go about it, and she's saying, you don't know enough. We've already gone about it the right way. Okay. From the text line, says more NBA players could step up and be advocates for women's basketball, just like the late great Kobe Bryant was. With all the energy that Draymond uses to run his mouth, he could actually do something positive. Again, I don't think he was trying to do anything negative. And I will say this, if you're looking for an advocate for women's basketball on the Golden State Warriors, you have one in Steph Curry, and that is certain. I mean, he was highlighting his relationship he had with one of the Stanford players who went on to win a national championship this year. I'm sure Riley Curry's already got a full scholarship waiting for her somewhere. You know, all she's got to do is go into the backyard now and learn how to shoot. I think that there is definitely an advocate there, and I hear what you're saying. Any guy who is in the league and does care about the future of women's basketball has a great platform to be an advocate for them and push that ball down the road. You know, I heard Kate Scott talking about the women's game, and she made a really good point. The more you draw people into stories about players, the more people are drawn into games. And so talking about it a little bit more is absolutely a good way to go and grow the interest. So there you go. That's why we brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and this is a soccer thing, not necessarily a women's sports thing, but Kevin Durant owns a piece of the Philadelphia Union. So it's, you know, there are business opportunities here too. It isn't just, you know, what can I do to help? You can bring your wallet. I mean, there are investments you can make in women's teams. There's a women's league that, you know, is trying to thrive and can use that level of investment. So there's lots of ways this can be done.
Is the union is that a WNBA team or a soccer team?
No, it's an MLS team.
Okay.
The point is that there are opportunities out there if you want to A, learn, and B, be a part of the solution.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, they are basically on the same side. It's just, I think, two things about what Draymond said. Number one, if you had advice that you thought was useful to the people fighting this battle on a daily basis, I'm sure you have the ability to reach out to them as opposed to just sort of idly tweet about it. And second of all, you, even if what you meant basically makes sense on a level, the way you went about mentioning it, the words you used, made it sound like you were blaming the women for not doing things that they have clearly already done. And I think that's where someone like Megan Rapinoe gets frustrated. And for what it's worth, she didn't say, like, screw Draymond, he's a son of a whatever. She said it's really unfortunate in the position he's in, having all the resources that he has and the ability to have a much more educated opinion that he just hasn't. That's what she said.
Well, on that note, what we want to do here is give everyone the information that they need to formulate the opinions that they're going to take with them through life as they make careful, careful choices. And on that note,
is this the reality show thing, please?
No, but it's time for the food report.
Hungry?
What the f*** did you put in that sauce?
Oh, yeah.
Dry and tasteless.
Soft, bland, rubbery.
Yeah.
Super duper weenie in Connecticut.
Cream freeze, cafeteria free.
You're only gonna give me a rancid scallop.
It's time for the Damon Bruce Food Report.
Cafeteria free.
So what, we got about like 9,000 fans out at the ballpark today for the home opener. And that's about 20% capacity. So you're going to be feeding people in there, but not the way that you would normally go about feeding a baseball fan at a baseball stadium. Things have changed in the age of attending a sporting event in COVID. And this is the new normal that we have to be used to until we get back to the old normal. So let me tell you a little bit about the new normal, according to our friends at sfeater.com. Fans at Giants games can still order Giants dogs, garlic fries, Sheboygan sausages with kraut and caramelized onions, which, by the way, this article goes on to say, is the number one hot dog seller at the ballpark, the Sheboygan. I'm glad. That like warms my heart that people understand the word Sheboygan means delicious, which it still does. Also available, Mission Street nachos and burrito bowls, Ghirardelli sundaes, which on a hot day are absolutely delicious with the hot fudge, and Tony's Pizza from North Beach is also available. You will find an Impossible Burger should you be one of those vegetarian types. They will offer a veggie dog. If that floats your boat, you'll be able to get it in a gluten-free bun. I'd rather have another stroke, and I will someday to prove it. There will not be any vendors walking through the crowd, though, to bring you things that that's one of the things I love at a baseball game. You're like, geez.
That's a bummer.
I really want a hot dog. And then all of a sudden, there's a man walking down your aisle screaming, who wants a hot dog? And it's like, baseball god felt me, heard me. I think, Matt, the reason why they're not doing it is because how do you get your hot dog from said vendor? You either meet the one guy who can throw it like perfect spiral, or it's got to be handed down the aisle and you got total strangers touching your
food. Money handing.
Yeah. I get it. Like, again, I'm no germaphobe. I'm not going to re-enter the world as a germaphobe, but I get it. I really do on that.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So you're not going to have anyone walking around Peanuts, Cracker Jack, but they are still going to have Peanuts, Cracker Jack, soft pretzels, Nestle, the Dibs, the yummy ice cream bites.
Those.
Not Dan Dibley. Dan Dibley will not be featured as an item at the ballpark this year.
You never know, though. You go to the ballpark, you may very well see Dibs, too.
You could see Dibs, but I don't think
you're a food item.
Yeah, you're not allowed to like lick them or
to taste him?
Yeah, no. You're not allowed to bite Dan Dibley unless...
I don't know. We should ask Dan Dibley about that.
Unless he's feeling frisky.
Maybe you are.
I mean?
Yeah,
maybe,
who knows?
You know, the cannibalism audience has been grossly underserved by Major League Baseball.
Well, maybe Dan Dibley can step on in. But anyways, you get the Dibs. You get those all at the doggy diners. I guess they're going to be available. And what you do is you pre-order with an app and then go pick up your food yourself. So that's the way they're going about feeding people at the ballpark. Now,
honestly?
Yeah.
Doesn't that beat going and standing in a line? I mean, I think walking vendors will come back. But I hope app ordering and just pick up my food at the counter is here to stay.
I mean, look at it this way. They were doing it down at Levi's Stadium.
Yeah.
Well, before anyone said the word pandemic. You know, I mean, so
if you have the technology, let's do this, man.
Look, there's not a single person in the Bay Area who is uncomfortable with ordering food or snacks on their phone
on their
anymore.
Phone.
That's for
no
sure.
Way.
So that is like a new normal, which might be around to stay. It certainly, you know, maybe I just want to walk around the concourse and mill about for a little while, so I don't mind standing in a line, and I don't really know what I want, so I'm going to menu gawk for a little bit and figure it all out by the time I walk up there. There's still going to be an element of that, but if you know what you want, you just order it, then you go get it, and sure, someday it's going to come back to you.